So we're going to follow our theme for this week, and that's the theme of trusting in God in the midst of trials, midst of hard times. You ever been there? All right? Anybody there currently? Well, let me ask you some questions here, and maybe you'd say, hey, actually, I am in the midst of a hard time, and I just didn't realize it. All right, Psalm 34, by the way, is where we're going to be, if you'd like to go ahead and turn there. We're going to read the whole chapter. There's 22 verses, but it's really short, each verse. But we're going to talk here for just a few minutes. So the title of this today is going to be called Preserved. Preserved. And there on the wall, you'll see a picture of some raging water, just kind of like it's about to take us over. And so here's a few questions. Have you ever felt like you were in over your head, like you were drowning? Okay, maybe that's metaphorically speaking, or maybe literally. Maybe you felt like you were in the ocean, or you were in a swimming pool or in a lake, and you just thought, I'm not going to make it. This water's coming up over my head. Or maybe it's just been, I've been swamped by my family, by my work, by my bills, by my own pressures on myself, by what other people's expectations are. Could be something totally different. Have you ever felt overwhelmed by what you're dealing with? Right? What's a good indicator that you and I are overwhelmed? All right, so we got this stress, and usually stuff just starts coming out, doesn't it? And you think, where did that come from? That's not the normal for that person, right? And so when they lash out at you, and they usually don't, or they use language that they usually don't, you start going, man, something's really going on here, right? So when we get overwhelmed, sometimes the expressions fly. Have you ever had something happen to you that you didn't want to happen? Okay? Or have you ever had something happen to you that you didn't ask for? All right? So it just kind of hits you out of the blue. This is not what we planned. It's not what we prayed for. It's not what we hoped for. And yet this is what we've been dealt. Have you ever been in a situation that was beyond your control? Beyond your ability to do anything about it? Isn't that a real helpless position? You're in it, and you can't change anything about it. And we get angry, and we get discouraged and depressed, and we get frustrated, and all sorts of things come as a result of finding ourselves unable to fix our planet and unable to fix ourselves here. So everybody seems to nod their head. So if you've experienced any of these, all that means is that you have lived for some time on this planet, right? It doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how much money you have, doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in, life happens, right? And it comes at us from all sides, and sometimes we're just overwhelmed, we don't know what to do with it. Well, today what we're looking at is that we have someone who can answer these questions. We have a preserver, okay? And so we're going to talk this morning about being preserved by our preserver in the midst of trials. So Psalm 34 is where we are. Psalm 34, we find the man named David, and David has just fled from King Saul because King Saul was going to take his life. Sound like a good idea to you? You know somebody's going to kill you, you're going to stick around? No. We're going to make alternate plans. So David makes alternate plans, and he leaves, and he's going to end up in a city called Gath with King Achish. And he comes before this king. Now, this is in the land of the Philistines. And so this king is a little bit concerned about David because he feels like, David, aren't you the anointed one? David, aren't you the one that God, you know, they've said of Saul, he's killed his thousands, but you've killed your tens of thousands? Isn't that you? And so David, thinking that he was going to be interrogated or maybe treated poorly, what's he do? And this is bad advice, by the way. He pleads insanity. The Bible says he just goes literally psycho. So much so that he's got drool running out of his beard. Have you ever seen a rabid animal? They're just uncontrollable and they're just crazy. And so the king looks at this guy, David, and says, well, he's no threat to me. He's a madman. He's insane in the membrane. We've got to do something with this guy. So they said, really what we need to do is get him out of town. And so David's going to go out of town. He's going to park himself in a cave. And somewhere shortly after that, he penned this psalm giving thanks to God for how he had brought him out of the death pursuit of King Saul and under the interrogation there in Gath from King Achish. And so we're going to pick up here in Psalm 34, and let's just look at what he wrote. Here's what he says. Verse 1, he says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. See, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. And this poor man, he cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord, they shall not lack any good thing. And so come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? If that's you, verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. And so it is today. I want to look into this psalm, and we could spend probably a series of messages here, but we'll just spend a brief time looking at a few things as it relates to why we can trust in God as our preserver. Okay? Why we can trust in God as our preserver. So if you're following along in your bulletin, you can write these down if you'd like. You don't have to at all, but you can if you so choose. So here we go. Number one, God our preserver, the one who's going to preserve our soul, he calls us to trust him, trust in him in our trials because he is close. Trust in him in our trials because he is close. So as we progress throughout this message here today, we're going to use a little object to help me along the way here. Anybody know what this is? All right, this is a life jacket, or some may call it a life preserver. All right, and I'm going to put this on here. I'm getting in the water later, and I'm a little scared, so. No, I'm not. All right, so I've got on a life preserver or a life jacket, okay? And we're going to use this to kind of walk us through why we can or why we should trust God. So here's the illustration. Let's say that this room was entirely sealed, no way out. And from the top down, it starts to fill with water. And they're going to put about 10 feet of water in this room. Anybody excited? You're going to fight me for my jacket. All right? So that may be your worst nightmare. Okay, I know some of you have a fear of water, and so you may be thinking, Corey, I don't like this message already, right? We need to go a different direction here. Well, let's say in this room were enough life jackets or life preservers for every person in this room to have one. Does that change anything for you? All right, so that makes a difference. Maybe you don't want to get wet. Maybe the water is still going to be a little bit scary, but there's going to be a life jacket for you and a life preserver. Now, when are you going to take off for your life jacket? Is it when the water gets up to about toe level? About this much water, are you going to panic and start running? Some of you are like, yeah, I'm panicked already. What? Maybe when it's ankle deep? How many ankle deep people are we like, okay, it's time to move. This is what's really going to happen. No ankle deepers? Knee deep? The water's knee deep. Anybody moving to find a life jacket? Nobody? Oh, I see one or two. Okay. Some of you just want to get your exercise in. So the water's up to your chin now. Are you getting a little bit concerned? Yeah. I think we're starting to panic. I think at this point we're thinking, why didn't I go get my life jacket? All right. And we're probably starting to turn in the room and look like, where is it? Where is mine? And we probably see all these people going different directions starting to get their life jacket. Now, usually, when we all gather, you know, sometimes there are people who would say, I don't need a life jacket at all. You know, people like that. I probably was one of those guys probably 20 years ago, a young punk who thought he could do anything. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to identify you there, Matt, but he raised his hand and I said, the young punk who could do anything. And so I probably would say, you know, I can tread water forever. Well, the truth of the matter is, no matter how good of shape you're in, there's going to come a point where your body's going to give out. And even then, you're going to start looking. Where is my preserver? Where is my life jacket? Because you're at a point of great need, a point where you need somebody to come in. What would you call somebody who recognized it's getting deep? It's not the situation they thought was going to happen. I thought I was coming to a church service today, and now I'm ended up in a 10-foot deep swimming pool. What would you call somebody who went and got their life jacket, put it on, and zipped it up? We'd call them prepared, smart. We'd say they've exercised wisdom, right? That makes good sense. Common sense right there, all right? So you're going to go get your life jacket, and you're going to put it on. Well, that's the situation that David found himself in, okay? Not the exact situation, but he was in a situation that he did not plan for. He was in a situation that he did not want to be in, and he really couldn't do anything about the situation. He couldn't change it. He couldn't make it better. And so ultimately we're going to see here that David is going to turn, and he's going to trust in God. And so the scripture is going to read it this way, Psalm 34, verses 4, 5, and 6. This is David. I'm in over my head. I'm overwhelmed. All those situations we said earlier. This happened against me and I can't change it. I sought the Lord. He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. And this poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. And so what do we see David doing here? David is going to turn to God. What's it mean to turn to God? I mean, is God here and so we're going to turn and face this way? You know, there are people that do things kind of like that. They face a certain direction every day, believe that's a holy city, and so they pray they got to face that direction. When we talk about turning to God, is that just location? No. And so we're talking about setting our minds, our eyes, our hearts, all these things on God. We're going to turn them upward, and we're going to do that through what we've been studying here the last 4 weeks. We do that through prayer. So we find David praying here, and then he says, this is what the righteous should do as well. Verse 17 and 18, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Verse 18, the Lord is, what's the next word? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. See, David knew something that you and I need to know as well. When we find ourselves overwhelmed, we find the room filling up and we're getting terrified. I didn't plan for this. I don't know what to do about it. I can't change it. It's just the way it is. We need to turn to God, and we can turn to God because he is close. He's close. So whenever you find yourself terrified, scared, worried, unsure, overwhelmed, just losing it, remember the Lord is near. He's close. He's close to the brokenhearted. He's close to those who are crushed in spirit. He's close. You know what would make the difference in this room? If it's 10 feet deep and your life preserver's over there, you're probably a little scared. How would you feel if your life preserver was close? Yeah, you feel a lot better, right? You'd still probably be like, I got my Sunday clothes on or what? I don't want to get wet. But if this is my lot, if this is what I've been dealt, my life preserver's close, I'm A-okay, right? I'm A-okay. I'm in the midst of a situation I didn't plan for, but I'm being preserved. All right, secondly here this morning, we're going to turn to him because he's close. And now we're going to trust in him. We're going to trust in him because he says, I can preserve your life. Trust in him in the midst of our trials because he will preserve us. And so to trust somebody or trust something means you fully depend on them. You're putting your whole weight on their shoulders. You're putting your whole weight on their shoulders. Kind of like this life preserver. You know, some of these are rated. Like this one I have on is an adult small. You can probably tell. An adult small or medium. Okay, and it's rated for a certain size adult. We have several of these at our house. We have children's ones that are like extra small, and they go up to maybe 20 pounds. So if you put a 50-pound child in a 20-pound life preserver, what can happen? They could sink, right? There's no guarantee. Now, some parents just throw them in the water and say, oh, you're fine. All right, learn how to swim, float, whatever. But they're rated. See, they have a certain weight they can bear. What's God's bearing weight? He's got the unlimited life jacket, right? You know, they've got some of these that say one size fits most. If you put on the life preserver who is God, it'd be one size fits all. He can bear any weight. He can bear any burden. He can bear anything you're overwhelmed with. Nothing's too hard, too heavy, too strenuous for him. So he is totally different in that way than this life preserver right here. And so we're to trust in him, fully depend, put our whole weight on him. Now, what good would it do to know that there's a life preserver in the room but not use it? I know the room's going to fill up. I know I'm going to have a need. I know there's a life jacket in the room, and I'm not getting mine. What would we call the person who made that decision? All right, stubborn. Be kind. Right? Foolish. Okay. I would say similar things as well. And so we think of a person like, that's dumb, right? There's something, you're just not thinking very clearly here. So what we need to do then to trust is, okay, I know I'm going to have a need. Now I'm in the need. Now I know that I have a preserver. And so what I need to do is go get it, and then I need to put it on. I need to put it on. I mean, how foolish. The water's going to be over my head, and I got a preserver over there, and I can tell you all about my preserver. It'll float me forever. But to never use it is foolish. It's a lot of us as Christians, sometimes that's the way we live. There is a God in heaven created this thing. He's all powerful, and we've got all the omni words and all the attributes of God known. We can tell anybody anything they want to know about God, but when it comes to being overwhelmed, drowning, we don't put him on. And we panic, and we worry, and we flail our arms, and we scream, and we're just like, I don't know what to do. David here is telling us, you know what to do. Trust in the Lord. And so the illustration here is, put on the life preserver. Put on the life preserver. All right, let's go back to our text, because here's what David wrote as it relates to you and I being overwhelmed in the midst of our troubles, knowing we have a need and a preserver. We need to trust that he's going to rescue us. Verse 19 says, the righteous person may have many troubles. Anybody agree? All right. You've probably had many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from how many? From them all. Verse 20, he protects how many of his bones? Protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. But the Lord will, what's the next word? Rescue. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Now, sometimes it takes us a little while to learn things like this, doesn't it? He's going to take care of every one of my problems. Doesn't mean he takes care of it the way that I want or the way that I pray. But he's going to take care of it. And so I can trust in him. He will rescue me. Just like in this room filled with water, we would need a rescuer. We need somebody who can do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Did it ever take you a while to learn trust? You know, I can remember we took a family vacation to Bull Shoals Lake. Our family and another family. We got this houseboat. Spent the whole lake on the or whole week on the water. You guys ever done that? Never came in. Had all of our food. We had our church service out there. We just stayed out on the great big lake. And so my younger brother Tyler, he was in a life jacket 24/7. I mean, he slept in it, showered in it. He wore it all the time. Okay, poor little Tyler. Now, I was just learning how to swim and things of this nature, and I was kind of scared. And so I can remember I put on my life jacket. I didn't have to wear mine all the time, but if I was out on the deck, I had to have it on. Big double-decker kind of boat thing. And so I had my life jacket on. We were going to go swimming. So you know how you get in the water when you're not sure your life preserver is going to hold you? You kind of back down that ladder real easy. You put your foot in, get your waist in, you know, and you kind of hang on to the ladder, and you're just kind of bobbing right there. Hey, this is not so bad, okay? And you climb back up the ladder and you go down again, yeah, it's going to hold me, right? So what are you doing? Right? So we're testing it. We're learning to trust what it says it'll do. You know, it says it'll take care of me, so I got it on. Let's prove it. And so then what you do is you stand up off that first deck of the boat and you get your courage up, 1, 2, 3, and what do? You jump in and you're terrified. And you go under the water and you're just like, oh, please. And you come popping right back up just like a little cork, right? And then what comes on the face? There's a smile. It's like, it actually works. And so what's a child do? Man, they start flying up that ladder and jump again. Before long, they forget that they're trusting in their life preserver. They forgot that they had to learn to trust. They've just rested and they're enjoying the fact that they don't have to worry. And my preserver will rescue me. What am I afraid of? Well, my older brother and a friend that went with us, Todd was 2 or 3 years older than Travis, my older brother, went to the second deck. So I have a competitive spirit, and I said, I'm not going to be outdone. And so sure enough, we go to the second deck of this thing, and it looks like you're jumping off the Empire State Building. I mean, the water looks forever down, and still yet, 1, 2, 3, and you jump off, and it seems like you're under the water, you know, for a minute or so, and you pop up, and it's just awesome. And so we did that. I mean, just wear yourself out all day just swimming, jumping off this boat, trusting in the life preserver. Right? Sometimes we've got to take the time to understand that God is someone we can trust in. Put him to the test. It's one thing to say he is a preserver. It's something else to say he's my preserver and I'm wearing him. What's the difference between the two people? One stays on the boat and never gets out and swims and enjoys all the life out there. They know it'll float them. They're just not willing to trust it. The other person is just loving life, and they're willing to take the risk because they know that the preserver will float them. And that's how we need to look at God, isn't it? He's my preserver. He will rescue me. Though I may get down over my head, I know he's going to bring me up. I know he'll float this boat. I know he can take care of me. David knew this as well, and so let's go back and read this. Verse 8, and I've seen this on cookbooks a lot, but it's starting to click with me what Dave was talking about here. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. You know, why did David start praying when he was in the midst of being overwhelmed? Because somewhere along the way, he had been in that situation before, cried out to God, trusted God, put on his life preserver, and God took care of him. And so now he's saying, man, I have every confidence in the middle of whatever I'll face that God will take care of me. And so he says, you do it. You taste and see that the Lord is good. You'll see that there is a blessing for the one who takes refuge in him. I mean, think of it this way. I'm sitting here eating a steak, and I'm telling you how good it is, and your mouth's watering. How are you really going to believe that it's a good steak? If I give you a bite, you get your own steak. You may say, this is the best steakhouse in town, and I'll take your word for it until I get there. And when I eat it for myself, I say, oh, that's a great steak. Maybe I'll come to the same conclusion. David's not just saying, hey, he's a preserver for my life. He's saying he's a preserver for your life. So try him out. Put him to the test. He'll take care of you. Taste and see that this God, this Lord, he is good. And so for those who will turn to him in their distress, we find that he's a preserver. And those who are convinced that God will preserve them have all encouragement as they walk throughout their day. Unexpected happens. Life hits you out of nowhere. And you say, this is unfair. This is unplanned. I don't know what to do. I'm in over my head. And God says, just trust me. You don't understand. I got fired from my job, and God's like, trust me. God, did you hear what the doctor just said? We're all terminal, right? I mean, the ratio of people being born and dying is pretty high. Trust me. Man, God, I'm concerned about my children. Hey, they're my children. Trust me. And I feel like I've got to be their protector and provider. And there are things I have to be, but God's in heaven just saying, I'm your father and I'm theirs as well. Trust me. Don't set me over there and say he's a good preserver, he's a good father, and you're in the midst of a situation flailing your arms. Put him on. You know what happens when you find somebody who puts on a life jacket and starts to trust it? I've been in the water a few times with somebody who's screaming their head off, terrified. And you tell them, just hold your life jacket, right? Because if you do this, you can't do this. And if you can't do this, then there's a lot less. And so they just sit there, and before long, they just realize, I'm doing nothing, and I'm just floating right here. And there's a rest that comes over an individual. So I wonder sometimes if God's just not with that megaphone going, put it on, trust me, and rest. You're flailing your arms. You're weak in your nature. I will strengthen you. Just rest. Let me take this. And so David experienced this, but then third and last here, he wanted to make sure other people knew that the same God who preserved him would preserve them as well. It's one thing to say that he's my preserver. It's something else to say, and he'll preserve you too. And so third, our God, our preserver, he's going to call us to tell other people about him so that they might live, so that they might have this preservation as well. And so David was overwhelmed, and nonetheless, he trusted in God. He put on the preserver, and now he's going to tell people, and you do the same. Let me teach you. Verse 11. Verse 11, he says, come, my children, listen to me. Wonder why he calls the children. I think sometimes, you know, as I heard the illustration of an adult being compared to a tree. You know what happens to a tree branch the longer that it exists? It gets bigger. It gets more rigid. It's a lot harder to bend. What happens when you really put a bend on a tree limb that's really stuck? You snap it, right? It just breaks. But those tender little branches, you know what you can do with them? You can bend them any way you want to. And I don't know if that's what David was thinking here, why he addresses children. Come, my children, listen to me. Maybe the children needed to hear. Maybe he was going to try to bend them to know who God is so they would trust him. I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse 12, whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, then keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good and seek peace and preserve it, and pursue it rather. And so David had learned that God was his preserver, and then he learned as well that others need to hear it. And so let's go back to our illustration here with the preserver. Let's say I'm flailing around in the water, and I'm just, my chin's barely above, and I keep going under and coming up, and I'm just telling you, I can't do this anymore. If you had a spare life jacket, what would you do with it? Now, if you're being ornery, you might just hold it and say, man, it's good to have two. I'm really floating. Yeah. Na-na-na-boo-boo, right? But a good friend, and what I believe my church family would do for me, is say, pastor, here. And while I'm in this water weak, you'd help me get this thing on, and you'd zip it up for me, and you'd make sure I'm sitting upright, and you'd make sure I understand that you just rest here, just relax. This thing will take care of you. I know you've been in over your head. I know you didn't know how to deal with the situation, and you tried to the best of your ability, but you saw you couldn't fix your problem. And now something outside of you has taken care of you, and it's your preserver. And that's what David is teaching here as well. There is someone outside of us who's willing to watch us flail, scream, get worried and overwhelmed, but remember, he's close. And so David is telling us just to trust him. And so maybe you find yourself in the midst of a situation that's overwhelming, or maybe you're connected with somebody who's there right now. If we live very much longer, church, we're all going to be there. Right? You're going to get a phone call, a text, an email from me or from somebody else saying, pray for this person. Pray for me. And I'm going to get the same thing from you. because that's how life happens here. This sin-cursed world, there's all sorts of bad things that happen. And what I'm going to need to be reminded of is that, Corey, God's your preserver, and He's close. Turn to Him in prayer. Pour it out. Cry out. He says He hears the cries of the righteous. He will preserve your life. I need to be reminded of that. We live in a community that is wrecked by life. And man, a lot of people aren't floating. A lot of people are drowning and don't know it. And what they need are people just like you and I to come alongside them with that second life jacket going, and let me tell you about somebody who can preserve your life. Somebody's going to help you through this. He's been faithful to me, and He'll be faithful to you. God is a preserver. And I just wonder today, do you know Him as such? I hope that you do. In living in an overwhelming world, we need to know that He's close. Living in an overwhelming world, we need to not only know that He's a preserver, but we need to trust in Him. And I need to see that in you. And you need to see that in me. They're going through some dark days right now, but look how they're trusting the Lord. It's not easy. It's not what they planned. It's not what they want to be happening. But they're hanging on. They're trusting. There are children all in this room who need to see from adults what it looks like to trust in God. Man, we got stuff to gripe about galore. Why don't we model for our kids what it looks like to worship God in the midst of that? You know, I like how David starts that psalm back there in verse 1 or 2. He says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. And then verse 3, then he says, oh, magnify the Lord, how? With me. It's not just I'm going to praise Him. It's, no, let's praise Him. Listen, we set a precedent for our children. We as adults walk in this room and don't gripe about politics and economy and who's here and who's not and what is and what isn't. And we get all bent out of shape and we don't lift our voices in worship. We're modeling that, man, the circumstances win the day. In our study here, Max Lucado was talking about a guy in the church that had been there as long as Max had been there. I can't call his name right now. But he said every Sunday when he came in, when the music started, his hands were up. And his hands were up until the music stopped. 70-some years old, deacon in the church, smile on his face, just loving the Lord, had a disease that was taking his life. And every week, week in and week out, he came to worship. You know, David says, come to me, children. I'll teach you. We're teaching those who are here. And so it matters how we worship. God is a God who's close. He's a God to trust in. And so put Him on. And when you put Him on, you exemplify to others that there's a God who will preserve their life as well.